Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Real radio for patriots by patriots. This hour, the Hugh Hefner-Crystal Harris wedding has been called off. If you've heard of the Hugh Hefner-Crystal Harris wedding, he, the publisher of Playboy magazine, she, you know, a Playboy model. And I think he's been married, Hugh Hefner, three, four times? You would think more, but Mr. Hefner, a significant figure in 20th century, I dare say, not just 20th century American society, but really in world cultural history, because it was his magazine, Playboy, which sort of kicked down the barriers having to do with the prohibitions regarding sex, the sexual relations between primarily men and women. Although he was one of the very first people to call for the equal rights of gay people, and he's been a supporter of a great many other artistic freedom causes, but nonetheless,
What are you giving all a big build up for, man?
Yeah,
why don't you just talk about what the guy's doing?
I am talking about what you. One of the things you two clowns don't understand is that there may be people listening who are too young to really know the significance of Hugh Hefner, other than the fact that he's some old creep that lives in some mansion that has a dirty magazine.
Well, I mean, I don't think that.
Well, you guys aren't exactly, except for you, bud. You know who Hugh Hefner is?
Yeah, I know who Hugh Hefner is. He's a guy that published Playboy.
Okay, but the guy's, his history is significant. His history is significant. All right. So we're going to talk about that. Also, a study says students don't know a damn thing about U.S. history, plus Tracy Morgan is still apologizing for saying what he said about gay people. And, you know, it's the official stand here of the Phil Hendry Show, Mr. Morgan, if you're listening, which maybe you're not. You and every other comic and anybody else, stop being gutless wonders and say the following thing. Yes, I meant what I said, but here is what I was intending it to deliver. Here is what I was trying to say. You don't apologize, because I don't believe you, man. Not that it matters to you. I don't believe any of these other guys that we mentioned last night. Who are the guys that we mentioned, Robert?
Michael Richards.
Michael Richards.
Don Imus, all that.
Don Imus.
But Don Imus said nappy-headed and everything about black people, and Michael Richards said what?
Said the N-word.
Yeah, Michael Richards went, there's an N-word up there, there's an N-word. So, that was kind of a panicked thing he did when he did that. We mentioned John Mayer, we mentioned Kobe Bryant, Kanye West, all these people. Well, Kobe Bryant, this is kind of a different thing. He was involved in the possibility of actually raping a woman or forcing sex on a woman. Just speech, you know. If you say something, you're on stage, you don't know what the hell it is you're saying, you don't know what the hell it is you want to say, you're just standing up there like a dumbass with your thing in your hands, and you're trying to, fill up the time between now and the time you're supposed to get off stage, or what? And you don't know what the hell it is you're doing, then you definitely have got a problem, man. So we'll talk about that. First, this enlightening story. Just 13% of high school seniors who took the 2010 National Assessment of Educational Progress called the nation's report card showed a solid grasp of the subject of American history. Some people may wonder, well, why is American history important? American history is important because, as I used to say to my kids, do you know the history of your own life? Yes, then you should know the history of your country and your world, because it's just as significant. And knowing history, if you know the history of your own life, you're basically saying, my history, my personal history is really important. Well, it is to you, but some of the things that affect your life have to do with the history of other things. And if you were aware of the history of other things, you wouldn't just be operating in this kind of insular tube where you're just kind of moving through life insulated from all the other experiences and realities of life, past and present. And you wind up getting your ass kicked. Or you wind up getting caught unawares. You wind up as a citizen of a country wondering, why is this happening? Why is that happening? How come this? How come that? And today, what we're suffering from is we have a national dialogue going on about very specific things with very real historic basis and historic interpretation. And the people that are conducting the conversations, and many of the people involved in the conversations, are idiots. Absolute idiots. Because if you think this is new...
That's not the first time I've seen they had another one.
Yeah, this isn't new. You think this is a news flash that American students don't know anything about American history? American students haven't known anything about American history for decades. Decades and decades. And we haven't done anything about it. So when you finally are faced with something like 9/11 or you're faced with whatever, and everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, why is this happening? Because they don't know a damn thing, not only about the history of their own country, the world, nothing. What does it mean? If you knew history, you'd know what it meant. Some jackass on Twitter.
Oh, this is good. You tell me about this guy.
Some jackass on Twitter. He was in the Navy for 4 years. And he thinks George Bush is a piece of crap, this and that, whatever. And he says to me, like it's the biggest news flash in the world. He says, do you know that bin Laden and Bush were in the Carlyle Group? The Carlyle Group. Now, if that one hasn't been kicked around and beaten up and thrown down the steps and tossed back up the steps and hammered and yammered and talked to death, the Carlyle Group. It started out, and the reality of the Carlyle Group is the following thing, that the Saudis... and maybe members of bin Laden's family were in this Carlyle Group, a sort of business consortium, oil consortium group of business people. The Saudis and the Bush family, who had, I think only Daddy Bush had been sitting with this group in years previous to the Saudis' involvement. So they had there was no historic overlap at all. And absolutely nothing nefarious whatsoever taking place between the Bush family and the Carlyle Group, the Bush family and the Saudis, let alone the Bush family and bin Laden. But you got to look into this stuff. You got to look. I'll give you another example. This stupid ass called my show one night. I'll never forget it. He said that, Jason, you remember the guy. He said, what happened to the $5 trillion between the Clinton administration and the Bush administration? What happened to the $5 trillion? This guy's calling me 7 years after George Bush was inaugurated president.
I remember this guy's all wrong, got his facts wrong.
Got his facts wrong? Boy, that's putting it mildly. But because he was a radio talk show caller and his blah, 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 he's got to talk really fast. He's got to talk over me because he'll never get this chance again. He wants everybody to know because he thinks I've got this just... Boy, if you get on Phil's show or any radio show and you say this stuff, millions of people will be made aware. Well, what happened with the so-called $5 trillion or whatever the hell it was that this guy wanted us to believe was stolen by Dick Cheney, it was an accounting error that the Clinton administration, the Clinton Treasury Department... took responsibility for. An accounting error. And not a very serious one, to be honest with you, but one that was picked up on by the press in that little moment of time when there's nothing else to report. There's a $5 million, a $5 trillion, a $5 billion. There's a discrepancy here, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, what happened to it?
It's an accounting error. Don't you hear too good?
Oh, it was an accounting error. Now comes the Carlyle Group. Oh, well. And so someone finds out that a Saudi or two, maybe a bin Laden or two, we don't know, sat in this group called the Carlyle Group, some kind of, like I said, an international business consortium. And that goes from the Saudis were in this membership in this group for a while at one point, and old man Bush was in it at another time. That, for the purposes of politics... becomes they were members at the same time. And not only were they members at the same time, they were doing deals together. And you have proof of that? Oh, yeah. Show me the proof. And what is it? It's like an Alex Jones site. No. Come on, man. Show me the damn proof. Just like that Downing Street memo. So what are we saying? This is what passes for conversation these days about American history, the political scene, world history, and a whole damn thing, you know?
Yeah, but man, don't you try to tell me there's nothing Bush and the Saudis?
No, there ain't nothing between Bush and the Saudis. I've heard more horse dung about You know, the Saudis have an agreement with George Bush to keep the gas prices low so he'll get elected president. That was the agreement they had. Keep the gas prices low. Well, guess what? The gas prices kept going up, man, even when, and Bush still got reelected back in 04. So I don't know what they were talking about with that. Bush has got Bin Laden in a closet someplace. Remember that? As a matter of fact, who's that old lady that was a secretary? Kirkpatrick? What the hell was the name of that secretary of state? Madeleine Albright. Madeleine Albright, who was a who's a well-respected secretary of state with President Clinton, even she said, I wonder if Bush has Bin Laden in a closet and wants to spring him on us so he can get reelected. Paranoia like you never heard before. Stupidity like that was record-breaking. And it wasn't just by our elected officials, but all Americans. It continues today with stupid asses like this guy. So this cat on Twitter is trying to lay on me, this Carlisle group. I said to this guy, you know,
yeah, you told this guy to go to hell and everything.
I let him have it. I said, you know something, man, I don't have the time to talk to you about this. This stuff has been discussed over and over again. You're an idiot. I was in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. I've been places. I said, you know, I bet you if I slapped you hard enough, you'd cry.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. I said, I don't give a damn what you are. I said, you in the Navy, man, you probably got somebody killed, for all I know. And he, just answer my question. Have you ever heard of the Carlisle Group? Have you ever heard of Bush? Have you heard of the Carlisle? Yeah, you know what? Answer your question. Dude, you know what? There's no answering your question. Because even if I explained it to you, and I gave to you the nuts and the bolts of the whole Carlisle Group bullcrap thing, you still would be out there on the wing of the plane, man, looking for the gremlin.
There's like a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, what, are you going to go cry, man?
No.
Look, the what? The Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone. All right, we'll be back here. So I probably didn't really get into this story as much as I should have, but we have time. U.S. students don't know a thing about history, but who gives a ding-dang, right? Stephen Bozell is going to be joining us next. Mr. Bozell, as you know, from Corona, California, will be up to discuss how trying to find ways to get closer to his son, find ways to communicate better with his son, went horribly wrong. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. And we were talking. We have Stephen Bozell, I think, standing by. Bud, where is he?
Mr. Bozell is going to call us probably about 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. U.S. students don't know much about American history. Just 13% of high school seniors who took the 2010 National Assessment of Educational Progress, called the Nation's Report Card, showed a solid grasp of their
penis.
You didn't have to say the word, man.
You'll get fired for that.
No, I won't. That's what you want me to say.
I wasn't looking at you to say that. They didn't show a solid grasp of the subject.
Yeah, but you were all like, you know, smiling at me and everything.
Maybe he wanted to see yours.
Will you shut up? The fact of the matter is, they don't have a solid grasp of the subject. Results released on Tuesday showed the two other grades... I wanted to see his. Results released Tuesday showed the two other grades tested didn't perform much better, with 22% of fourth grade students, 18% of eighth graders demonstrating proficiency. This is a failing of teachers and the educational system. I'm not trying to pile on teachers, because I know they get enough grief. But the fact of the matter is, teachers don't recognize the importance of teaching history. If they did, they'd be drilling it into these kids a lot better than they are. History is so important that because we don't have a grasp of it, America has found itself in some pretty dangerous straits in the world as a result. We have found ourselves in some pretty dangerous positions worldwide because of this. We don't know our history. We don't know the history of the world, for God's sake. That's for sure. We have some ridiculous idea of our place in the world community, that somehow we have to look at the world and say, are we doing okay? We don't understand what leadership is, what respect is. How do you earn respect? You don't earn respect by looking at someone going, will you respect me, please? You don't send people a survey and say, what should I do so you'll respect me? You act out of your nature. You act out of your own nature. And if what your nature calls for is what has been American for so many years, then that's all we need to do. Just be Americans. But we don't know, man. We have no idea. It's like we got to send out some survey so we know how we're doing. We're so freaking dumb. One question asked fourth graders to name an important result of the U.S. building canals in the 1800s. This was called the American system, by the way. Andrew Jackson had a lot to do with it. John Quincy Adams had a lot to do with it. Abraham Lincoln was a believer in the American system, Republican though he was. And what was an important result of the U.S. building canals in the 1800s? Only 44% knew that it was increased trade among states. The history scores released today show that student performance is still too low, Education Secretary Arne Duncan said in a statement. Any guy named Arne Duncan shouldn't be the Education Secretary anyway. Sounds like he ought to be chalking cues to local pool hall. These results tell us that... Let me see that. I'm kidding around. His name is Arne Duncan, but I didn't mean to make fun of that. Anyway, these results tell us that as a country, we're failing to provide children with a high-quality, well-rounded education. Education experts say a heavy focus on reading and math under the federal No Child Left Behind law in the last decade has led to lagging performance in other subjects such as history and science. And why is that? We're trying to teach them how to read and how to add. We need to make sure other subjects like history and science and the arts are not forgotten in our pursuit of the basic skills, said Diane Ravitch, a research professor at New York University and a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of the educational thing.
Very educated of you.
Thank you. Of the seven subjects on the national test, students performed the worst in U.S. history. The scores on the history test did not vary remarkably from years past. Uh-huh. That's exactly what I've been talking about. 1994, for example, 19% of fourth grade students scored proficient or better. More than 7,000 fourth grade students, 11,000 eighth graders, and 12,000 high school seniors from a nationally represented sample took the test last year. A whole bunch of dumbbells. I'm kidding. I'm sure they're very fine kids. You do that now.
I don't need to get my head and my ass where I get my head and my ass all together.
To be considered proficient, they had to get certain scores out of 500. For fourth graders, the score was 243. Eighth graders, yada, yada, yada. All right. Judy Brodigan, who was the head of the elementary school social studies curriculum for a decade, said history and social studies classes aren't as much of a priority for school districts as math and reading. That means that our kids are in such serious trouble with their basic skills, math and reading. We got to get them back up to speed on that before we can even get into the finer topics of history and science. Are you ready for that? Well, I don't know. I know what the answer is, but you know what? I'm not going to say. And the reason why I don't want to say is if you say in this country today, you can't even give your opinion without people automatically writing you off as a liberal or a conservative, automatically shutting their ears. It doesn't matter what you've got to say. It doesn't matter if what you have to say will solve the problem of mortality. You could have the key to everlasting life. But if you say you're a liberal or a conservative, in some circles, their ears will shut off. They will not hear you. And no one will hear you, man. You could have a bag of gold doubloons. You could have a whole Spanish galleon full of them. But I ain't going to hear you, so I'm not wasting my breath at all. But I know what the answer is. I know what the answer is. I know how our country can get better. I know how our country can get smarter. And I know how we can get ourselves out of these problems. I know. But if you think I'm going to say what I think the solution is, forget it, man. I'm not going to waste my breath on talk radio. Talk radio, this is not where you find solutions to problems. This is where you make them worse.
Man, you're talking like that, man. People are going to like you.
People love me, man, for the laughs I bring to their life. They don't want to hear me talking all this smack about Judy Brodigan and the dumbass eighth graders and how they think the canal system was for, you know, root canal. All right.
Wasn't it?
No. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell joins us next. Plus, Tracy Morgan is still apologizing.
Phil,
what a bore.
Henry.
Wow. Woo!
For Patriots, by Patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. As we promised, we have Mr. Bozell with us. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is a frequent contributor to our program. Father's Day is coming up, and Steve, you have a son, Stephen Jr., and I know that you were looking for ways. You know, I heard this generation of fathers, when I say this generation of fathers, I mean probably guys that are a little bit younger than me, maybe guys in their 40s. Maybe mine, the baby boomer dads, are closer to their sons than at any time in history. In other words, that fathers and sons are closer and are do more things together, have more communication.
Well, I think that may well be. I know that my work takes me out of the house very early in the morning. I'm in a construction trade, and you're generally on a job site 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes you're, working late. So my schedule is a little bit off the kids, and I think, with Father's Day, I'm a little bit nervous.
All right.
With Father's Day coming up, I wanted to see if there were any groups of men who share ideas on how to raise a son. I know there was a book out you recommended, Mr. Henry, The Wonderful World of Boys.
The Wonderful World of Boys is a book written by a psychologist about younger boys, younger than adolescent. And it's a great book. It's actually for women, for mothers to understand, mothers who have sons, young sons, and understand how kids, if you have young sons, they show each other affection by wrestling a lot.
Yeah.
By smacking each other around. You know, you have to kind of understand what is hostile and what is just them having fun and that kind of stuff.
Well, I tried to find that. My son, though, was approaching middle school, so I went online and I found a group. And I tell you, there are days when I just wish that I'd... And I'll be very honest with you, Phil. There are days I wish that I wish that just maybe a construct, like a crane had fallen on me or something.
Well, what happened?
I found a group that I thought was going, a group of fathers talking about being more communicative with their sons and doing more things with their sons and, learning how to raise a young man, because they were saying things like, the young man in your life, you need to love more. And I thought it looked pretty good to me. And I said, well, I might just drive down. They weren't that far away. They're having a meeting over here in one of the business parks. And they had an office.
And now, did they have a name?
Well, yes, sir. And I didn't know at the time what it meant.
And what was the name?
It was the Man Boy Love.
NAMBLA?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of perverts, man.
I know that, but I didn't know at the time when I saw what they were meeting.
And well, why wouldn't you know that from the name?
I don't know what that means.
Man Boy Love.
I thought it was about...
You thought that was about fathers and sons, huh?
That's what I thought, sir, yes.
Those guys are a bunch of freaking perverts. They ought to be, all of them, arrested. I think it's a criminal organization. You want my honest opinion?
Well, Mr. Henry, you know, I mean, I think that's going a little far.
Do you?
And hold the phone. I'm not saying I believe in any of that. I went down to this meeting. I had no idea where I was. And I started hearing these guys talking, and I realized I was inside a freak city. And
did you get up and leave?
I couldn't get up and leave right away.
And why not?
Because if I got up and left right away, they'd probably holler cop or think I was an undercover cop, or I felt it was rude.
You felt it was rude sitting there in the middle of this meeting and getting up and leaving, so you stayed?
I stayed until there was a natural break in the proceedings.
And what break was that?
They had a buffet. So, sue me.
I don't understand. You are looking for some organization of guys, fathers who can share with their sons, and that's all very laudable. And you wind up at NAMBLA.
I wound up...
And you didn't tip you off, huh?
What's the tip-off?
What is it called, Jason? North American Man-Boy Love Association? Is that it?
Well, how's that going to tip you off?
You got to be putting me on, man.
No, I'm not putting you on.
There's nothing in that thing that says anything about fathers, is there?
No.
So now you're in this organization, you listen to these scumbags, and what?
I didn't want to leave right away. I didn't want to draw attention.
Look, you know, Mr. Bozell, just hold it together, okay? Because a lot of the times we have you on, you start crying.
No, I don't.
Are you crying now?
Yeah. Ooh.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Go ahead.
So, I went in, and I was going to leave as soon as there was a break in the proceedings. And then there was a break. And then...
Oh, this is ridiculous. You put him on hold for a minute.
Wait a minute.
Put him on hold for a minute. I'm going to throw up listening to this jackass.
Daniel, we're in the NAMBLA meeting house, man.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm okay. Putting me on hold, that further humiliates me. Deeper and deeper and deeper.
I apologize, but you're going...
You don't have to mock me.
Okay, so then what happened?
So then what happened what?
You're in the meeting at this NAMBLA thing. You don't want to leave.
I didn't want to leave. Then they called a break, and they said, okay, what looks good? And I thought they were going to start passing around a boy, and I said, I'm out of that scene. But I saw, instead of that, they walked over to they had cold cuts. I had not eaten.
So you stayed and you broke bread with these freaks, huh?
I didn't sit down and have a communal... No, I didn't sit down and go, hey, how you doing? I'm Steve.
Did anybody ask you your name?
Yeah.
Did you tell them?
No, I did not.
Well, how does someone ask you your name and you don't tell them?
I gave them...
How does someone... Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir. I told them...
Oh, no.
It's not going to matter.
No, you didn't.
You tell me you're Phil Henry?
You didn't.
I told him I was Phil Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. And I told...
Okay, uh-oh is right, uh-huh. Uh-oh is right. See, I have 20 minutes left on this show, and that's fine, but I want to go to his house and break his neck. And I can't do that. I have to stay here. And...
Well, you should have hung up on him, man. They've been talking out.
Talk it out, huh?
They said he was H-E-N-R-Y.
Oh, well, that really helps a lot, man.
I don't think you should be so egotistical. Well, how you say that?
Egotistical. Get him back on the line.
I'm here.
Phil Henry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I'm scared.
Don't worry about it, Steve. All right.
So anyway, they had cold cuts, and they also had buffalo wings. And I said, well, I haven't eaten all day. They had some of the... They also had stuff I don't like, which I do not like, and I want you to know I didn't like it. It's the broccoli with the ranch dip. I do not like it. and I, so I didn't like it.
Oh, that's really great. Okay, so you didn't like it.
Yeah. So.
Why is that significant?
What?
Why is that significant?
Because I wanted you guys to know that I'm not all down with NAMBLA stacks, you know?
You're not all down with NAMBLA stacks, but you had their buffalo wings.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you're not all down with NAMBLA snacks?
I just wanted you guys to know that NAMBLA served food, okay?
And you sat down and had their buffalo wings and cold cuts.
But they also had broccoli with ranch dip. And I'm trying to sit.
You know, this guy snivels too much for my taste. Okay, Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry.
So you're going to blow me off at the moment when I'm crying?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And that's all I need to hear from that dumbass. I got to tell you that right now.
Well, I mean, he didn't join on NAMBLA or nothing.
No, it's not about him joining NAMBLA, okay? It's about how stupid the guy is. That's what it's about. It's about how stupid he is and how he blames everybody else. Here's a guy that's looking for, and it's a laudable goal. Nothing wrong with it.
What's that mean?
What, laudable?
Yeah.
Praiseworthy. It's a praiseworthy goal to want to learn more about being a father communicating with an adolescent son. That's a very laudable thing. And he wants to meet other fathers who are doing the same thing. Father's Day is coming up. It's a very nice thing. But now what does he do? He's so dumb, that he finds NAMBLA and goes down to their meeting. Now the dumbass is all, uh-oh, they're going to start passing a... Didn't he say passing a boy around?
Yeah.
So he's worried about that. There's a break in the action. He's ready to split because he doesn't want to be caught with these freaks. He sees that they have cold cuts and buffalo wings and
Well, I mean, it is kind of a temptation and everything.
No, it's not, man. No, it's not. But...
No, it ain't a temptation. You got to get your ass out of there, man. You got a high tail to jam up and jelly tight, man.
Well, he didn't like... He didn't put his name on the NAMBLA master list.
The NAMBLA master list, huh? That jackass should have been out of that place. He should never have gotten there in the first place. That's what I mean about dumb. That's what I mean about dumb. That guy should never have even been in that place in the first place. So, as a result, and then he uses the name Phil Henry. And the only reason why I'm not flipping out is because it's so asinine and so absurd, no one could possibly believe it. Not in a million years would anyone believe that... What do you want?
David,
you join NAMBLA?
Will you get out of here with him? All of you guys. 877-876-PHIL, a children's book author, gets kicked off of a plane for cursing. Now he's thinking about suing. Plus, Tracy Morgan says he's sorry again. Will the gay community forgive him? Will the gay community fall for it? Let's find out. PhilHenryShow.com, HD, TV, blog, merchandise.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You join NAMBLA?
For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we do have... where did I put the Morgan stuff, man? Did I put it in the file? I did. Tracy Morgan's story here. There's more to this pathetic story. I don't buy it, and that's just my opinion. And, you know, it's not that I don't think the guy is a good guy. I don't buy apologies like this. I don't buy an apology from a professional who says, you know, thus and so, blah, 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 whatever, 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 and then turns out, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. That's bull crap. No way, man. I ain't buying that. You know, I think sometimes these guys have got to have some guts. Grow some freaking guts. Yes, I meant to say it. You did, yes. I'm an African-American man. We fought long and we fought hard for our manhood, and you have to understand that we have a psychological weakness when it comes to that. We're posturing. It's about manhood for any man. I remember what Deacon Jones said once, who is a defensive lineman for the LA Rams. Deacon Jones, and I mentioned this on the show, Deacon Jones was a defensive end, was probably the greatest that ever played in the National Football League. And he said, you got to understand something. For the first time in my life, I could sit across the line from a white man, and I could do anything I wanted to that guy. I could humiliate him. I could beat him into the ground until he cried. I could draw blood. For the first time in my life, I could show him exactly who he was dealing with. He says, and I loved it. I loved it. Because Deacon Jones came up at a time when there was a great deal of segregation, Jim Crow, and everything else. I lived not far from his hometown, Eatonville, Florida, which is a small African-American suburb of Orlando, Florida. And when I was there, man, there wasn't anything there but the high school, Eatonville High School. He said, I could play in the National Football League, and I could destroy people, injure them, cripple them. For the first time in my life, I could do that. I could prove that I was every bit the man that this guy was across the line from me, and then some. So this is really powerful. And I don't doubt, and I'm not an expert, but I'll tell you something right now. You know, Tracy Morgan says one minute I'm going to stab my son to death if he tells me he's gay, and then he's trying to apologize. That guy's a lying mother.
You're going to say N-word.
No, I wasn't going to say N-word. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. We haven't heard from this guy in a long time. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. This is the NAMBLA treasurer. You didn't pay your dues.
Will you watch it with the phone calls?
I didn't know.
877-877. So Tracy Morgan, in my opinion, is not a repentant man. Phil Henry Show. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, the NAMBLA meeting is going to be coming.
Where is he?
He went in the next room.
Okay, bud, where are you? I'm going to kick his ass.
I don't know, man. It's setting him up.
I got to screen the calls myself. All right, this is Uncle Jim. Hey, Uncle Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the buffalo wings because...
All right, don't take any more calls in.
I don't know.
Hey, bud, I'm going to kill you, man, so you might as well just stay away. 877-876. We're talking about Tracy Morgan here. Comedian and 30 rock star Tracy Morgan apologized for his tirade against gay people during a stand-up show in Nashville, Tennessee, and now he's planning to return to the city in an attempt to make amends. Okay. Let's go to the phones here. This is Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you like him 13 or younger.
All right, now I'm going to kill you, man, wherever you are. Don't even... Both of you guys, don't even bother coming back in here. Do you understand?
Really, kidding?
Where are you?
I'm not going to tell you.
Where are you?
We can't say.
You can't say, huh? Well, when you guys make yourselves known, I'm going to beat the crap out of both of you. How do you like that?
You can't take two of us.
You don't think so? Tracy Morgan to return to Nashville to apologize. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, this is David G. Hall, Phil. Listen, if you want to pass a boy around a campfire...
All right, what time is it? I've got... 2 more minutes of this living hell. Tracy Morgan to return... screw it. Here's Tracy Morgan. Turn that crap off. I said crap, it's Jimi Hendrix. Turn that stuff off. Here, then, is Tracy Morgan.
For someone who was bullied myself, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My life is no laughing matter, no joke. So it would be nice to see him and others... take my life more seriously.
It's disturbing, and it's a very unfortunate thing because we want to teach our children equality, we want to teach our children equal rights and acceptance and tolerance, and that's just not okay. And unfortunately, Tracy Morgan, I feel sorry for your son.
It was upsetting. It was really upsetting. The comments were upsetting and offensive and hurtful.
All right, now, I don't want to screw around. Is this Don Berman?
Phil, this is Don Berman, and I'm not going to say anything about NAMBLA. I don't know what they're... I wanted to call in. I heard that first... I don't know who Tracy Morgan thinks he is, but if you heard him, he's... Oh, it's really offensive.
That wasn't Tracy Morgan.
Who was that?
That was a guy at a Hollywood, at a L.A. Pride parade. I got the... I...
You're a little flustered.
I'm a little bit flustered, yes. I'm a little bit flustered, yes. I got the wrong thing. That was not Tracy Morgan.
Well, I was thinking it would be very funny because the first guy was... I was really bullied as a kid. You know, if you found out that Tracy Morgan sounded like that, would that be any good?
No, Don, it wouldn't be any good. And you know what?
Boy, get you. You're really... You're all in a heap just because somebody said you'd like to pass 13-year-old.
All right, so I understand what's going on now. Bud and Robert set the whole thing up to make me look like an ass. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, Technical Director Dan Northcraft, and our Associate Producer Chris Johnson. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, is also at philhendryshow.com. Join us, won't you, over at philhendryshow.com. With the backstage pass, you access the archives, our daily video cast, our five-day archives, all of our webisodes, all of our rants, just all of us. PhilHendryShow.com. See you tonight.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it says here you're 6 months overdue with your...
Phil Hendry.